blessing to know that we are serving the same God Elijah served. Amen. So he's here, and we'll let him be in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
I've written to what I'm going to read. Somebody else know. We're going to read Psalm 34, Amen. Verses 1 through 11. Miss a Sunday or two. Mostly, it's not, I don't consider when I got a joint aching that I'm sick, I'm just not able to be here. But the Lord bless me, give me strength. Some days, now I wake up in a pain that's so severe I can't move all the way. I'm keep pressing on.
Amen.
I don't feel that I'm being hindered, but I'm moving forward.
Right.
And right. We're going to see Jesus Christ. We got to leave here at some point in time. So
Amen.
I come and I try to be ready myself to go. So just keep pushing on. Because someday this journey will be ended. Amen. In the troublesome world that we're living in now.
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to come together to worship. Lord, we realize there are many other people doing other things today, Lord, that they're enjoying. But, oh Lord, we realize that the joy in this world is not what's going to carry us into the kingdom. Lord, down on our knees and ministering and talking to God, Lord, that's what's going to carry us through. Lord, we pray and ask you if there be anything in our lives, Lord, that shouldn't be. Lord, that you would remove it. Father, we are too weak to move it. We ask you to strengthen us. And strengthen us, Lord, that we can yield unto you and be blessed according to your holy word. And this morning, Father, in this building, everyone, Lord, we ask you to touch us especially and grant unto them that which they have need of. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 34:1-11. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him.
Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
There's a story in the Bible of Elisha, the Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God, and he gave her a son. While working in the field, the little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified that all is well, and all is well, all is well. We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Now things have not worked out like God's people thought, for we're still here fighting the greatest battle ever fought. You must have the faith of Abraham, knowing God's word never fails. If you trust in him, you will find that all is well. Yes, all is well. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Yes, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message, shalom, and all. A perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Amen. How many can say this morning, all is well? Amen. It's wonderful when you think about being able to go behind that inner veil, just you and God, shut in. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Well, we're going to have Brother Kern, if you don't mind, we're going to worship the Lord in tithes and offerings this morning. And we're going to have a little bit of a abbreviated song service this morning. We're going to try to get Brother Wade out here shortly. Since we've got communion foot washing today.
Okay, Heavenly Father, we truly come to and grateful, Lord, that you have provided a place, Lord, that we can come and worship you. Yes. We praise you, we exalt your holy name, Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, that you'll forgive us for our sins and trespasses. We pray, Lord God, that you'll bless Brother Wade and come and see and that get him out of the way, Lord, so you can have freedom. Yes. We pray, Lord, that you'll be humble and hear what the Spirit says to us. So at the end thereof, Lord God, we could too rest. We could testify that all is well.
That's
right. We ask, Father, that you will bless these tithes and offerings and obedience to the word, Lord, and we have brought a portion back into the storehouse. And we ask.
with us at our visit. God's order is in Jesus' name.
Amen. So, Sister Christine was asking, they got group practice, and if you're in the group, please stay in the sanctuary after the first service this morning. So, meet with her. So let's all stand this morning. And we get ready to change the order of the service this morning. Let's sing Word of God Ever True, Changing Me, Changing You.
Holy Word, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the Word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go in this world.
It's changed lives.
Amen.
Man can talk about things and talk about things and counsel you, but the Word of God, always true, ever true, never will fail you, never will trick you. It's like Brother Luis, this whole world's just full of trickery, smoke and mirrors and trickery, but the Word of God will never trick you, I promise you that. It's ever true, changing me, changing you. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everyone here. Good to see Brother Eli back with us. Man, you done got so tall, I don't even have to look find you. You're standing there beside your mama, almost tall as she is. But, you know, his arm was broke, and he's looking pretty good now. He's doing good. So good to have you back. Good to see you. God bless you. Remember, communion and foot washing will be this afternoon, and the offering again will be this afternoon, will be for the vision books. All right, that we send them now every month. All right, remember this coming Sunday, Brother Bob will be speaking for you on that Sunday. I'll be gone that weekend. All right, and then now the 17th, Thanksgiving dinner. June said, read paper. So I'm read paper. We need brothers to volunteer to bring drinks, water, gallons of tea, and lemonade, and ice. All right, sisters, bring one large side dish. 9 by 13 are enough to feed 8 to 10 people. We don't need more than 2 of the same food dish, except for squash casserole. And Sister Esther will not do Brussels sprout or whatever that was. Grass. Not eating grass. But please look on the list before you choose your food. In addition to your side dish, we need 10 sisters to volunteer to bring one dessert each. And that's all. We don't want 100 desserts. Well, maybe we do. In addition, your side dish, we need 6 sisters to volunteer to bring 1 pack of rolls each. Thank you all. See Sister June. And we have this year, we are going to exclude, excuse Sister Dale, Sister Cletus, Sister Gwen, Sister Trudy, Brother Darty, and Brother Collie. y'all brought enough. We're going to be able to feed you, and you don't have to bring anything. Don't worry about bringing anything. But now the rest of you, you got to man up and sister up. All right? Brother up and sister up. Brother up and sister up. No, you're not.
You well, call me Grandma.
Yeah, but you're not as old as them. You'll get there. You'll get there. You know, you can be this close. Man, you tell a sister she's young, and then you don't put her in a group, and now she wants to be put in a group because she thinks she's old. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Pray for Sister Regina that she will get her mind back, that she'll get her mind back before she does get elderly. So, praise the Lord. There's always one. But anyway, see Sister June if you don't understand, and just bring food. Like I said before, if you got a family of five, don't bring a dessert. We're going to feed your family. Bring something besides that. If you look over and you got a row of kids, bring a row of food. Not one little side dish. Well, I can't cook. Well, guess what? Zaxby's can. You can't get Chick-fil-A Sunday. KFC. Oh, yes. Yes, KFC. And even Walmart's got a pretty good dish there. They got a pretty good little deli there. I like their chicken tenders. But, yeah, bring some food. Because we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Now, that will be on the 17th, not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, we will have our Thanksgiving dinner. The meat will be provided by the church. So we don't bring any meat. You just bring vegetables, side dishes, your favorite side dish. We're doing it here. So we're doing everything here. Even we're going to have Sister Rachel has ordered us some bouncy houses and stuff for the kids. So we're just having all-day Thanksgiving here instead of having our fall festival somewhere else. We're just going to have it here. So there'll be jumpy houses and different activities for the kids. So we'll just make a day of it. So we appreciate the Lord letting us be able to do that. So, but bring some food and be happy in the Lord. Should be the most thankful people in the world. Should be the most thankful people in the whole wide world. Thankful for life. Thankful that God give us breath. Thankful that he's let us get old. See, that's what I mean. Sister Arlene, she got her hand up. But thank God every day that you got breath in your body. And thank God we got a place to go to after this is over with. And then we're coming back here to live. Amen. There's a few of the couple of questions this afternoon. This afternoon will be questions and answers. I'm going to say it's not going to be long, but it is one of the questions is, what is the difference in, like, paradise, heaven and all that. So we're going to answer that. And one question that says, please, in 20 minutes or less, explain Daniel 70 weeks. So, with the help of the Lord, because he's going to have to do it, I can't. But I think I've got it condensed down where we can talk about it and get the gist of it. Because what's going to happen is now later when we're going to read in Malachi 4 about the prophet Elijah coming. We're living in that day. Listen, we're not. People say we're living in Bible times. Hold on a minute. You didn't come in here in a horse, a carriage, and you didn't go home to a cave or a thatched house. No, you're living the Bible time. You're living what it said. And I know some of it's bad, rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and all that stuff. But still, we are living what the Bible's always been looking for, is this group of people right here. Do you know one thing's for sure? You are one of the five wise virgins. Who's it talking about? They went in the rapture. They not us? So there we're identified right there in the Bible, just in one little scripture, and we'll read some more maybe a little bit later. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you give us. Thank you for this time, Lord, that we have. We pray that you would be with the ones that are not here, that are sick. Lord, just bless the ones that are sin sick, Father, and bring them in the fold. Be with the ones, Lord, that are traveling, Lord, and different ones. Father, we pray that you'd just bless us now. Anoint the word through the people's ears in Jesus' name. Amen. We're still on transition to perfection. All right, we're on part 6, and I think we got this thing working. Man said one time, a man named Toby Mack. Everybody know who Toby Mack is? Most of you that listen to contemporary Christian music. He said, practice to pause. When in doubt, pause. When you're angry, pause. When you're tired, pause. When you're stressed, pause. And when you pause, pray. Good thing to do. Not just jump in. Pause. And then pray. So let's read Malachi 4, very familiar. But we're going to break it down a little bit today. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now this is the last prophet to the Old Testament. There's 400 years between him and Jesus, or John the Baptist. All right, there's going to be 400 years. But this is what the Jewish people, even of this day right here, are looking for Elijah, because that's what this says right here. Not knowing that they missed the Messiah, they missed this Elijah, but when that Elijah, the spirit of come from here that goes over the end of the, for the Jews, for the 144,000, he's going to take this message. And they're going to see that Elijah anointing. All right, and they're going to accept him. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. So there had to be a healing campaign to start this out. And you shall go forth and grow up. Grow up. You shall mature under this ministry as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Because remember, this is Malachi coming out of the Old Testament into the New. They don't know anything about a Messiah. They know he's coming. They've got a few characteristics. But they thought he was just going to come and take over. They were going to kill all. He was going to kill all the Romans, and they were going to set up a kingdom, right? Because that's what they kept asking him. Are you going to set up the kingdom now? It was a wrong kingdom. So behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So see it. The Jews are reading this because they read the Old Testament. They don't read the New Testament, but they read the Old Testament, the Torah. So they're reading this. They're looking for Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Now, we know who was that. That was John the Baptist. Everybody with me? Fathers, Old Testament fathers, New Testament young people, brand new ministry, brand new message. Right? Christians. And the heart of the children to the fathers, Brother Branham, or Elijah number 4. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, you may be seated. So they are looking for an Elijah to come on the scene before God curses this earth. All right? But we know one thing's for sure. He's here, brought his message, and left. All right? And now, Revelation 10 verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery, remember that's not plural, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. So this man, the seventh angel messenger, has to be on the earth at this time, and he has to be a prophet. All right? Not only a church-age messenger, but a prophet. There were many church-age messengers that were not prophets, identified in the word like Brother Branham. Everybody with me? So now let's go to Zechariah 4, verse 5. We'll try to get finished here by 12, and then we'll have our time back again. But that make sure everybody changed their clocks. I didn't see everybody got here, so that's good. The angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. These Old Testament people, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to lead them and guide them into all truth. They had an anointing that was true, that would come on them and come off of them and come on them and come off of them. Come on, David, prophesy in the first person. They pierced my hands and my feet. And but that anointing could come off of him, and he would be just a normal person. He'd commit adultery, commit murder, and all these different things. All right? But that's what was coming, though. This new message is that God's going to live inside of you, not just on you as an anointing. He's going to live inside of you. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, and I said, he said, no, my Lord, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was a builder in the Old Testament. Actually, the word Zerubbabel means out of Babel, our Babel. So where did Brother Branham come from? He came right out of Babel. This is Babel. And that's why he stood and said, come out of her, my people. He brought him out by the new birth and gave him a message, gave him an angel, gave him a sign, gave us a sign. And then he said, okay, let's not follow the sign of the person, follow Jesus Christ because he's back. All right? So come out of her, my people. So come out of her. He was in it. He wasn't of the world. Now remember, he was a sinner just like the rest of us. All right? Everybody with me?
Amen.
He was not God.
That's right.
Amen.
He was born of sex.
Right.
He made mistakes.
Amen.
He had to eat.
Yes.
He got sick.
Right.
He was a daddy.
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
Everybody understand that?
Yes. Right.
He wasn't immaculate. There was no immaculate conception except one. So the Bible tells us in Zerubbabel, being this great builder, that now Zechariah is going to tell Zerubbabel, said, look, he answered and spake unto me, saying, now this is the angel talking to Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord, or talking to Zechariah. All right? So this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. So the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. In other words, he had to start somewhere and build up to this mountain.
Yes. Right.
So it's going to be a plain. When he gets here, it's going to be flat.
Right.
All denominations were flat when Brother Branham got here. You understand what I'm saying? This is a little bit of type. This is what I say, Bible days.
Right.
But now that Bible days is correct, is to me and you, because we're supposed to take the message and now build that mountain.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
There's not a real Zerubbabel here. Brother Branham's not here.
That's right.
We have mighty men, though, that can build this thing, that can build the temple back. Not the temple over there in Israel, but the temple right here.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody with me?
Amen.
And he shall bring forth the headstone. So there is your identification that Zerubbabel is our last Seventh-day Messenger, because no one brought the headstone message except William Marion Branham.
Right.
No one.
Amen.
Pieces, parts, I'll agree with you. The whole bringing of the headstone, uh-uh. Only one man. And you and I are under that message. Under her messenger, she will be the final voice to the final age. Listen, everything we do is final. Everything we do. Now, remember, God moves on and goes to Israel, but everything we do in this Gentile dispensation is over when we leave this place. No one else will be saved. I listened to a minister the other day, listened to the Moody Bible Institute, because it's big time in Chattanooga and Nashville. So when I'm going to the hunting camp, I turn them on and listen. And they one brother, he did the best he could. They asked him about certain things, and you could tell he was denominational because he didn't understand. He didn't understand. He was putting us into tribulation and being able to get saved. Now, that's their doctrine. Y'all know that. I hope you know that now. The doctrine is, if you don't make it, you're a Baptist, if you don't make it, you got another chance to make it into the, you know, when you're in the tribulation.
Right.
And all he had, the souls under the altar being tribulation people, and thank God for a prophet.
Amen.
I didn't sit there and criticize the man, but I said, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I know what you were talking about, Lord, because you sent me a prophet to tell us exactly who the souls under the altar are. Where do we go in the, not in the trip? We're not going to be in the tribulation. Where are we going to be? We're going to be in glory. So there, he's going to bring forth the headstone. Now, who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So he's going to bring Jesus Christ in power back to the earth again by the word of God, not bringing back physical.
Right.
All right. Therefore, shouting, crying, what? Grace. And that's what I was thanking God. I said, Lord, thank God for grace that you gave me a message.
Right.
Not criticizing the man. He was stumbling through there. It was a questions and answers. They call in and say, hey, what about this? What about this? And probably 50% of the questions he answered wrong. But he answered, he said, that's all I know. They asked him about where we're going to be. He said that when we got in the tribulation period, there would be some kind of transition for us to get in the millennium. But he never answered it. He said, well, I'll just leave that up to God. Well, that's okay, but God sent us a message.
Amen.
And God spoke to us and told us what these things are.
Right.
All right? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. What is his hands? His hands is his workmen. You work with your hands, right? We are his workmen, made in his image. So Zerubbabel is not here. In type, Brother Branham was Zerubbabel. I hope you understand that. He laid the foundation, but then his hands shall finish it, which is us, the laborers, the ones that are still here. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. We know God sent us a prophet. I hope you do. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice. They is you. So let's say, I shall rejoice.
Yes, sir.
Let's say, I shall rejoice. Why are we rejoicing? Because God sent us a prophet. He sent us a Zerubbabel. He sent us a master builder, put the foundation down, and say, all right, guys, build it. I'm not waiting for Brother Brown to come back and build it. You'll be left here with the 10 foolish virgins, 5 foolish virgins. Now watch this right here. And they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, I know some of y'all are not old enough, but when I used to watch them old men build houses, and so did Brother Gary, it was called a plumb bob. Right? Had a piece of lead that was sharp. Almost looked like a top, a spinning top. You understand what I'm saying? And it was made of lead, really heavy. And you put it on a string, and you would take that string, and if you wanted to start a corner or take a corner, a point, it wasn't laser like we do now. You just laser shoot it. You had to literally put that. Well, what happened? That plummet was straight. That's as straight as you could get. Right? At the time, that was it. Remember Brother Dale telling us how long time ago men used to, they didn't have levels, so they put water in the floor of a house to make sure that it was level, that the floor was level. What have we come to? Now I got a level on my phone. Among other things. But Zerubbabel was sent with a plummet in his hand. In other words, to get it all straight, you got to have a plummet. Or we called him a plumb bob, which would be something that you hang down. It had to be straight. It couldn't be crooked. It had to be straight. And what you do is you'd get it right to the ground, and you just, sometimes I've watched them just touch the ground, and there's the point sticking down. There's the point. Make a divot in the ground. Right, Brother Gary? That kind of put the divot in the ground, and that's where you started from. So thank God he sent us a prophet with a plummet in his hand. All right, so let's look at this just for a minute. With these seven. That's what I said. This is not Bible times. This is Bible being made real to me and you. All right? With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. So let's look at these points. Remember, the Zerubbabel meant sown in Babylon. All right? So he come out of Babylon. He came out of the Baptist church. He came out of denominations and brought us a message. And this man is going to bring the headstone, something no one else has done before, ever. Even Brother Paul, as great as he is, he did not bring us the headstone message. He could look at it. He could look at the glass darkly. He could see something, but he could not put it together. You know why? Because you and I were not there to feed on it. Remember, God's not going to cast his bread before swine. He said, whatever I preach, in other words, if I cast it, it's going to come back. Well, it's got to fall on the right people first. So I'm telling you, folks, this is all we got. World ain't going to make us better. This is the only thing that's going to rapture us is this message of the hour. Nothing else. Nothing else. So the word hands, like I said before, means power. I even looked it up. That word, you know that, the right hand, the hands means power. So Zerubbabel was going to have the power to build and then the power to hand it to somebody by hand. Hand it to somebody, and then use a plummet. A plummet is a leveling tool. So what did Brother Branham do when he came here? He leveled the word up. The word wasn't off. Man was off. Man got off, even got off that whole foundation. Man got off of it. Is everybody with me? So now let's go to 1 Kings. I've quoted this the other day, but just for something short, we'll You know, Brother Brown said one time, he said, if you can't read every verse and see Christ. Now, where's Christ? Christ is in you. Christ is in you. So if you can't see you in every verse, something, the good and the bad. But the good. Watch this. And it came to pass when midday was past. Now, what happened? Elijah was on the scene. First Elijah was on the scene. He makes a challenge. Come on up here and let's see if Baal's God or let's see if God be God. The God of Israel or the God of Baal, one of the two. Whichever. We're going to have a showdown right here on top of this mountain. Remember Brother Brown said we would have a showdown in the end time. It'd be on Mount Transfiguration. Amen. Mount Zion, I mean, which is us. And it came to pass when midday was past. All church ages were over. Midday. We're not in the middle of church ages. We're in the evening time. So they fought and they cut each other. And it was a horrible scene. And they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Are we not in the evening time? Now they had got so to where they couldn't even talk. That there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. There was nothing happening. All church ages, nothing happening. They actually jumped up on the altar and pitched such a fit they tore it all down. The altar was scattered everywhere. To save space, I didn't read that, but you'll go up a little bit higher, you can read that. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar that was broken down. Brother Branham started with the just shall live by faith. He went to Wesley's message, Pentecost, and then he brought his message. But he didn't deny all that other. Amen? But he did tell those Pentecostals, he said, look, you got your church order wrong. Baptist, you got your church order wrong. All you different ones, you got your church order wrong. You're doing this, you're doing that. This is the way to do it. That was, he was a repairer of the altar of God, which what? It's in your heart. And all of us, obviously, were broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, now what is a stone? A stone is a revelation. So he takes these revelations and he puts them together. And God's not going to show up until he does. He hasn't showed up already. Now watch. He built the altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. That's us. And he put the wood in order. He didn't just throw it up there. He put the wood in order. Cut the bullock in pieces. And laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. 4 barrels of water. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that Elijah brings us the word. Amen. He's fixing the water. The fire's going to fall, but there's water going to be there, which is me and you. Washing of the water by the what? By the word. He wanted to make sure they didn't have a issue with, well, that was a real dry sacrifice, so it just got consumed. No, he wanted to wet her down. He wanted to make sure that it was impossible. Impossible to dispute. That's why Brother Branham, I believe, when he started the healing campaign, he wanted the people to see without disputation that he was the prophet in the end time, but not so much say, I'm your prophet. He wanted the people to realize it. Listen, you got to realize it for yourself. He said, do it the second time. Second pull. And he did do it a third time. And he did it the third time. Now, when the third pull come, guess what's fixing to happen? The fire's fixing to fall. And the water ran around the altar, and he filled the trench with water. And it came to pass. Now, watch. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, so in the evening time is when this happens, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done these things at thy word. Remember, Brother Brown preached at thy word, Lord. He did it at thy word. He did exactly what God told him. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. He's identifying who he is. And he's identifying there's a group of people that's going to have their heart turned back. They're going to be able to worship right. They're going to be able to sacrifice the right way. If that don't excite you, then you need to find a good ball game or something. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. We took a rapture. There was nothing left, Brother Darty. There was a whole bunch of stuff there. There was a whole bunch of stuff here. But when God got finished, when Brother Branham finished his message, and then somebody picked that message up, the fire of this message, which is the ministers and the laity of the message, it takes this and puts it to our heart and burns out all the junk inside. Come on, somebody. And he's going to what? He's going to consume you. Listen, we're consumed with everything else but the Word of God. We're consumed with this or that or the other. But we need to be consumed with the fire of God. And if you got the Holy Ghost, guess what? Listen, they didn't leave a thing. They're not going to leave. Ain't one bride going to be left here. And we're going to leave this place because of Brother Branham's message. We're going to leave this place because God has revealed, not that Brother Branham was a prophet. That should be already settled. But that what he said was a vindicated word directly from the mind of God. Knowing what to do with it, he said. She'll know she has her his potential. Not Brother Branham's potential. Jesus Christ's potential. Joshua stood there and the Lord said, Joshua, thy servant Moses is gone. He's dead. Right? But Joshua didn't just curl up on the side of the road and just start crying and stick his thumb in his mouth. Because God said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. As I was with Brother Branham, I believe he's going to be with his people. Because we're the Joshua of the day. We're the Holy Ghost that's going to take us out of over into the promised land. That's our type. All right, now Matthew 17, verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man. I've been up on the mountain. Moses and Elijah appeared to him. Brother Brown said they told him about his second coming. All right, so he's come down off the mountain. The three, Peter, James, and John, they see this. And then they started, you know, well, let's just build an altar for all these people. No, Jesus wanted to build an altar in them. Right. Jesus didn't come to build an altar. Not a physical altar. He came to build an altar in me and you. Yes, that's the reason that God couldn't get into your altar in the Old Testament. Right. There was nothing but bulls and goats to cover your sin. He couldn't take it away. Right. So God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. Sure, he's anointed them. Sure, it's the day that he died. He saved those people in the Old Testament. Come on, somebody. Right. Elijah's not going to be in hell. Right. Samson's not going to be in hell. Yes, they're going to be in heaven. But they're not going to be bride. There is no bride in the Old Testament. Not a Gentile one. Now remember, he had a bride Israel and he divorced her. Put her away to marry a Gentile bride. We're going to be the ones that stay in the city. The great Elijah, the great Abraham, the great Moses. If they're able to live in that city, then it's something set aside for them because Brother Brown said that city was made just for the bride. Right. Amen. Moses is not bride. Right. Elijah's not bride. Right. Malachi's not bride. Amen. They spoke of a bride. They spoke of a bride. That's why I said we're living the time now. We're not just living in Bible days. That has become alive in me and you right now. Right. It's our day to make that manifest. Matthew says, okay, and says, tell the vision to no man. In other words, don't tell anybody what you saw because they're not going to be able to understand it until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then shall the scribe? Now, why then say? Those disciples are going right back to the scripture I just read you. They go right back to Malachi because they read Malachi. Remember, Malachi was in the Old Testament. And his disciples say, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? They're actually quoting Malachi 4. Okay. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Right. Now stop right here.
Right.
John the Baptist didn't do that.
Right.
He was the hinge pin between the Old and New Testament, and he introduced the Messiah.
Right.
He didn't straighten anybody out.
Right.
He tried one time and got his head chopped off for it.
Oh, yeah.
So Jesus, this by revelation, you can see that he said, you're not going to understand this until the Son of Man be risen again in the end time.
Yeah.
Remember, they killed him through denominational ideas.
Right.
Brother Brown said, you crucified him again.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Remember, he indicted this whole generation. He indicted the Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals. He said, you killed Jesus Christ and put him out on the cross. That's the problem with it. They can't get him off the cross and get him inside of it. Oh, yeah, Jesus died. We know that. Beautiful, wonderful. He's got to get inside of you first for him to do any good. Jesus answered and said, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, he's talking to me and you. This is the day that Elijah, because watch what he said right here in just a minute. That Elijah right there. But I say unto you, that Elias is come already. Now, he's talking about John the Baptist because physically they know him. They see him. He's right there. They know he's a little bit weird. He eats a little bit. His diet's a little weird. But he introduced the Messiah. He introduced, in other words, the disciples says, hey, John, we know that's John. John introduced us to you. But what did Brother Branham do? He didn't introduce us to himself. He introduced us to Jesus Christ. Then we came out of the prison. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever. The original says that was listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of what? Now, who did the Son of Man suffer from? He suffered from the denominational world of the day. Amen? He suffered from the scribes and Pharisees and Caiaphas and high priests. That's where he got it. He suffered. So also the Son of Man suffer them. So when the message comes back in the end time like it is today, we will suffer that kind of persecution. You will suffer if you try to tell somebody about the truth of the message of the hour. You know, there's no way. I'm not going to cast my pearls against to the swine. I'm not going to call that guy on the phone and try to give him a five-minute dissertation how wrong he was. Amen? I'm just thankful in my heart, and I pray, God, get him what the prayer should be, God, get him to somebody that can help him.
Yes.
He was trying to help people, and he was giving them the wrong answer. They said, oh, great, that's fine, thank you. And he'd hang up next one to call and say, oh, what about this? Well, yeah, okay, thank you. And they just took and accepted it as what, you know, what God was saying. And absolutely it's not true.
Yes.
We will not, the bride will not see a speck of tribulation.
Amen.
We'll be out of here by that time.
Amen.
Praise God's name forever.
Amen.
Don't worry about bombs falling.
Right.
His whole world is worried that somebody's going to press a button.
Amen.
There's one button I want to press. That's the eject button.
Amen.
And I want to be like that sacrifice. I want to be laid on the altar. I want to be told that here comes the fire, and I'm out of here. The Bible even says that there wasn't even dust left. Aren't we not dust? There won't even be dust left. Pieces and parts of you are not going to be scattered around everywhere. We're going as a whole. We're going home. It's going home time. It's 100% it's going home time. Likewise shall also so the Son of Man suffer of them. Who's them? The religious world. Then the disciples understood that he spake of them of John the Baptist. Obviously, that was their revelation. But our present day revelation is that that was not the Elijah that was sent to us. That Elijah was sent to them. See where it says right there? That Elijah was sent to them. Because he's come already. And they knew him not. But the scripture before that, he's talking about Brother Branham. He's talking about Elijah number 4. Because he didn't. Nobody restored all things except the Elijah in the end time. He restored everything back. Praise God. God didn't send us. God didn't send us a half message. He didn't send us something to wonder about. He sent us something to believe. And then let that connect to what's in your soul. And you got to be able to say, that ain't nothing but the truth. Folks, if that ain't the truth, you can't find it. You sit there and listen. And I listened to that brother. And he was some theologian. He had some kind of doctorate degree. And he was from whatever college, Moody Bible College or something like that. And he had been taught those things.
Right.
I'm like, man, all that learning and half what you're saying is false.
Wow. Right.
That's what we've come to. Now, this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10 is going to do two things. We read this before, but we're going to read it again. Because if you don't see that Brother Branham had a transition from a healing ministry to a perfection ministry, or transition from partial to perfect, then you've missed it.
Amen.
And if you still think about all the healing, you missed it again. God has moved on through that. He's moved into the healing of the soul.
Yes.
Not so much the healing of the body. I know God heals us every day. We know that. But we're looking, as I read y'all 100 quotes in the past several months where Brother Ram said, not in the years of preparation. You've missed, you're majoring on a minor. A minor is that first part of his ministry. All right? The major is what we're sitting in today. We can't go back. I'll promise you one thing. If William Branham stood in this pulpit right here, there'd be no more people than they are today. Because you know what they'll say? Well, I don't think it's him. Well, it looks like him, but it might not be him. Well, what he's saying is, he's saying that we're all wrong. Well, that's not William Branham. Then out the door you go. Hello, somebody. Well, if Brother Branham was here, I'd get healed. You're a weak Christian. Absolute weakest there ever was in your life. You're as weak as you can be. If you think Brother Branham's going to heal you by coming back. No, I'm sorry. It may rub your feathers, but guess what? I'm not waiting around for somebody to come back. Except Jesus Christ to pick me up. Amen? Because nobody can change your body except Jesus Christ. Now the message of the hour plus you is going to get us out of here. It's going to change our body. So one, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Pentecostal babies to mature adult Christians, all right? Because, you know, Brother Dale told us years and years and years, God's not going to rapture babies. The body change is not going to come to babies. It's going to come to somebody that knows how to handle the Word of God. And if it means sitting here and listening and praying and reading your Bible, that's the only way I know you're going to get it. So that first part, he's going to turn the hearts of the children. What? Go in among the Pentecostal babies. Bring a healing campaign, which is the bait on the hook. But they just got the bait and left the hook.
Yes.
The hook was is to bring them into this second part.
Amen.
But guess what? Didn't happen.
Right.
You know why? The fish that he needed to catch is sitting here right now. The fish he wanted to catch was not in there. Now, there might be some of you, Sister Cleed and someone, been in meetings before, but I'm not talking about that. I ain't talking about being in a place physically. I'm talking about in spiritual form. You can be 90 years old and be a baby. Praise the Lord anyhow. Age has nothing to do with revelation. I believe God can speak to these young people and give them revelation that will help them during their daily journey.
Amen.
And it don't have to come from mom and daddy. Now, I know mom and daddy's got to be your head. We have a headship. Don't tell me, kids, that you can go over here and say, now God spoke to me and told me I could have a tattoo.
Right.
Now, let's go back over to Leviticus and talk about marking your body with ink.
Amen.
All right, put it back in the Word.
Right.
Kids, if you can put in the Word of God, we'll deal with it. But if it's just some thought you got, I'm talking to you adults too. Number two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. We're going to get into all that. We're going to get into all the major doctrines here pretty quick. It's coming up cold weather, and now the time's changed, and y'all won't have so much to do. Maybe you'll start coming to church. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Now, the seven seals were sealed up.
Right.
Why were they sealed up? Because God over here in the beginning gave that book to Adam. Amen? And the ability to open it. And that book has a book of names in it. And it's mine and yours. But when he couldn't do that, when he had sex with Eve, just be plain, when the womb was polluted first in her brain, then him, he accepted it and took a part of it. Or don't knock that over. Then he accepted it and sold out. Brother Brown said he sold me and you out. He said he sold the whole human race out. Listen, we blame Eve for a lot. Adam was the one that sold us out. The first Adam couldn't take us to perfection. I just got that. The first Adam could not take us to perfection. He wasn't a savior. He tried to be. And in type he was, because he saved Eve. He took her and said, no, if you're going to kill her, you got to kill me. You know what Moses did? Moses said, if you're going to kill all them people, you got to kill me first. You got to come over me. You know what Brother Abraham said about Abraham and Sarah? God would have killed Sarah if it wasn't for Abraham. So sure, Adam typed Christ, but he wasn't Christ. We have Christ now, folks. We don't have an Adam first. We have a second Adam. It's going to take us out of here. Don't praise the Lord. It will be these divinely, not just revealed, divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. That's why I said we are literally making the Word of God manifest. Literally. As I said before, and you know, I know you don't get it. Some of you don't. Some of you do. We're not a type. Everything in the Bible types the bride. Everything types the real. Literal means real. Listen, I'm not coming to church. I'm standing in church. I'm literally here. You haven't got to guess. You haven't got to wonder if I'm going to get here. I'm standing here right now. So guess what? No more guessing about revelation. No more guessing about mysteries. No more being able to say, well, that's your opinion, that's my opinion. Jesus Christ is the only opinion we need to have. We're going to get it right or we're wrong. You can't be in between. But consider this, this prophet messenger will be in his nature and manner as was Elijah and John. The people of this, now watch, the people of this prophet messenger's day, that's me and you, right, will be as they were in Ahab's day and in John's. And since it is only the children whose hearts will be turned, it is only the children who will listen. You've heard about us old people. We're all set in our ways, except maybe Sister Regina. She ain't got there yet. You started this. Right? Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Can't change an old person. They're set in their ways. Oh, you young people are shaking your head like this. We all got parents and different ones. You're not going to change them. Only God can change them. But what about children, though? You can change children. You can influence children. That's why Brother Branham was sent to children. Now, you and I were not Pentecost. Now, some of you come out of Pentecost. But we were all babies in Christ when we come in this message. What do you mean we got to be baptized different than what I've been living the past 20 years in the Baptist church? What do you mean it's different? What do you mean this is this? Well, what do you mean this is over here? Well, what are you talking about? You're a baby. That's what a baby does. But when you grow up, you say, oh, that's where you get that from. Book of Acts, Acts 2:38. Peter was saying exactly what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, we'll be done right here. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Now this is Paul talking to somebody. For this we say unto you. Today I say this unto you. that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. As I said before the other day, we are not looking for a rapture yet. I know everybody says, well, I'll see you in the rapture, and we got the rapture's coming. There's some things got to happen before the rapture takes place. We got to get this thing right. You better have a resurrection inside yourself before you're going to be raptured out of here. Because listen, in our condition, quote from Brother Bram, in our condition, we can't take a rapture. In our condition, we better hope God don't come in the morning. Everybody's like, boy, I hope God comes tomorrow. Well, you better check up a little bit. Hey, listen, we're having communion today. You better check up a little bit before you do that. But you better check up a little bit when you say, Lord, please come tomorrow. You better check up and make sure that you want him to come. And it's from me all the way in the back. I want the Lord to come, but I want my kids saved. You want your loved ones saved. And you got to hold on till they quit sucking air. Now watch. That we which are alive and remain, isn't that us? Until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder, Brother Brown said, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend. Now we know, according to Revelation 10:7, he has already descended in a message. Everybody with me? He has descended in a message. And that message is where? Right here. That's why I said we can take and narrow this thing down, and we're living exactly what the Bible said. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Three things got to happen. Voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Huh? Resurrection first. Yes. All right? Then we which are alive and remain are going to be changed. Yes. And caught up with them in a rapture. Amen. So we got to get them here. You know what the Son of Man message is? In a nutshell, the Son of Man message is the proof of the resurrection. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Brother Ram stood. He said, I can prove Jesus Christ has resurrected. He said, because number one, he's here. And if you can't see him, I'm fixing to tell you that last week you ate potato chips and got choked. And the doctor was from India, and he drove a green car, and he just went right down through your life. That wasn't Brother Branham. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. Comfort one another that you know this message of the hour. Comfort that you know that you can come to a church that at least you can hear some of the Word of God. Rapture message. Now here, Brother Brown, let's let him explain it. Then we'll be done. Three things happen. Now this is the rapture message. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now a shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. All right? He descended in Revelation 10. The mighty angel comes down with an open book in his hand. Is that not where we're at now? What did he descend in? The Word. The Word that Brother Branham brought opened the veil so that Christ could come in and give it to the people. Amen. A conduit that was used of God to bring it to the people so that you and I cannot be confused like we were before. Amen. A shout. What is the shout? It's the message going forth. First, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. So there had to be a message come to bring a bride that could hear what's being said, that can know what's fixing to happen, and that can manifest what's going to happen. Rapture again. First thing comes when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? Listen, if I go stand over here somewhere outside and I open that door and I go, hey, what are y'all going to do? Everybody's going to turn their head. You're not going to look that way. You're going to turn your head toward wherever that shout was. Why? Because it gets to people's attention. Listen. It's a message to get the people together. Not separate us. Get us together. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Remember, he's talking about the virgins. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth. The seventh, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have any oil in their lamp. But it's lamp trimming time. It's Malachi 4 time. What he is Luke 17, is Isaiah, all these prophecies that it can perfectly set in order for this day in the scriptures, we see it living. Right there.
Amen.
Continue on. Now, he's getting pretty personal right here. Now, this is 1965. This is actually about 20 days before he died. Or close to it. I think he had to wreck, or he died on Christmas Eve. So this is getting close, 1204, 1965. Actually, he was coming back from Arizona when he got killed. So he was preaching. This is his last part of his message. When I went forth into the meetings with you, praying for the sick, it was fine. But when I came with a message, if any message goes forth, it's a true message. If it's the true, genuine miracles of God, and hangs right in that organization, you know it's not of God. Because that thing is already declared. In other words, it's already cursed. It's dead. Jesus went forth and healed the sick in order to catch their eyes, the people, then his message. That's right. It has to have something that God is going to introduce. I'm asking you again. We know the first part of the message has been introduced to us. The healings and the signs and the wonders and all that. It's undisputable. But when we get into that second part, people dispute. Because if you don't have the revelation of the Son of Man, you'll not see it. Because Caiaphas and them, they were very religious and they didn't see it. Listen, the 12 disciples, or the 11, didn't know who Judas was except for the Son of Man. He's the only one who knew who it was. His miracles, like, just catch the eyes of the people. The main heart of it is the message. That's what is. There's what is what comes from in here. He's trying to get the favor of the people so they'll sit and listen to him, for there's some in there that's ordained to life. So the shout is Brother Branham, a messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of a resurrection, which is what? The voice of the Son of Man. Because the Son of Man was standing there when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And that was the voice of the Son of Man. In other words, the voice of the resurrection. Same voice, a loud voice in St. John that called Lazarus from the grave. And I put in parentheses, that's where the Son of Man was standing there.
Amen.
Getting the bride together. Then the resurrection of the dead, see? To be caught up with it. Now watch these three things take place. The next is what? A trumpet. A shout, a voice, and trumpet. Now the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the Feast of the Trumpet is calling the people to the feast. And that'll be the bride's supper, the Lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. So you and I are now listening to what? The shout. We've heard the message. The voice of the archangel is going to come through the bride. It's got to. At midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. Now remember, they all woke up. All 10 woke up. But 5 were ready and 5 were not. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed the lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. We didn't study like you did. We didn't go to church like you did. We didn't get the correct message like you did. Hello, somebody. And now what it is, they got something wrong somewhere. Because they didn't make the rapture. If you don't make the rapture, you're going to have something wrong. And it's not God's fault. And we know what happened. Proving his word. Let's read this one right here. Not no more as a church, because the Son of Man is being revealed. Now watch. Not no more the bride is called, see. In that day the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. What? Through this message.
Yes.
Nothing else. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. Your human flesh. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man, not a clergy. See, it's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride. And then she'll go home to the wedding supper. She's already united. When you get born again, we have a marriage down here. Then we go to the supper. All right, everybody with me? When the word here unites with the person, and they two become one, and then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologians. The Son of Man. The Word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done. Now, if you want to know how the end time people act, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what the Son of Man acted like, because it was him, and he's our example. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word, and the church does the same thing. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, musicians, just for a minute. We'll sing a song. He said, look, he says, in the form of people, not son of God, not son of David, but son of man. The Son of God was the supernatural. What? First part of his ministry. He was the Son of God under the Son of God ministry. Yes. He was just bringing back the gifts. He was just restoring what had been done for years through prophets. They had prophesied. They had told people. They had told dreams. Daniel was a great dream teller and or revealer. And so was different ones. But it wasn't just that. It was the message that was behind that. It's what we're to catch. But just before the promised son come, God revealed himself as a man in human flesh and read the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart in the room behind him. Now, if you just take that right there and read that, he's saying he's the Son of Man. But that's not right. You know that as well as I do. That's not right. Just before the promised son come, God revealed himself as a man in human flesh. Yeah, he's going to. Anytime Jesus is going to be revealed in the end time, it's got to be through me and you. He picked it that way. It's got to be through human flesh. It's got to be through the bride in the end time. When the Son of Man shall be revealed, the Son of Man being revealed, not the Son of God in the church age. That's why we're done with the church age. He's put out of that. Now he's Son of Man revealing himself. The Word is becoming flesh among us. Do you believe that? Let's sing a song.
Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved in his love and favor. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved.
Sing it to him.
Oh, I shall not be. I shall not be moved.
Why did somebody come to tell you, Brother Brown, to fall apart?
Will that
shake you, move you?
That's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, in my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In his love I'm hiding. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved.
Take it to him.
Oh, I shall
not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
The devil raises.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Just like a tree that's planted by the water.
That's good, Aaron.
I shall not be moved.
Amen. You love the Lord? It's almost 12. We come back at 2 o'clock. We have communion and foot washing and answer a couple of questions. It shouldn't take too long until we get to that second one. But I'm looking for great things in the Lord.
Amen.
He's revealing his word. People are catching it. People are catching on, but let's pray for the ones that's not catching on.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for those people that are dilatory. I mean, we have to. If this is lamp trimming time, we better trim our lamps. You know what? How many people know what a lamp trimming is? Not many. In the old times. We have two hurricane lamps at the house in case the power goes out. Flashlights are okay, but boy, them hurricane lamps, they got the oil in it already, and it's got a wick.
Right.
and you turn it like this. All right, everybody with me? Just for a second, then we'll go. And that wick goes up like this, right?
Right.
Then you light it, and it sucks that oil up through that cotton. Up into this place right here. Well, now, as it burns, when you get finished, when the power comes back on, praise God for the power company.
Amen.
Well, until you get your bill. And then you blow that out. What happens? It gets real black, and the residue is still there.
Amen.
All right? Now, when you try to light it again, it'll light, but it'll go, it'll spit and sputter and spur, and it won't be very good. But if you take a scissors and trim your lamp, trim the parts you don't need off anymore. Go right down there below that soot, burnt spot. Cut that off. And, man, when you light that baby up, it'll give you light like you wouldn't believe. Well, that's what he's talking about, lamp trimming time. We've got oil. We've got some light. But it's dim. But there shall be light in the evening time. When it is the dimmest time, there shall be light. And you and I are that light because we trim our lamp. We come to church. We read our Bible. We do the things we're supposed to do. You love the Lord? Yes, sir. Okay, the group's got practice. Okay, please stay in the sanctuary after the first service. Also, I'd like to see the trustees in the office just for about 10 minutes. Brother Darty, that's including you, too. You're a deacon. I mean, you're a trustee. You know that. Don't be walking away. He's going to the bathroom. But just for a minute, and we'll... And then we'll be back at 2 o'clock and have regular service and have communion foot washing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that you give us, Lord, that are around us, that are just real good, solid Christians. Lord, that have the anointing on them, Father, to help the people. As I always say before I enter into this pulpit, Lord, use me though I be a castaway. Use me to help somebody today. Lord, don't let them look at the flesh, Lord, but just hear your words, hear your voice. Lord, sounding out in the end time. There's no other voice. It's in the days of this voice that your Son of Man is going to be revealed. So it's got to, as you said through Brother Branham, it's got to come through this. It's got to come through this message put together. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one till we come back together. Give them safe travel. Give them something to eat, Lord. Be back together at 2 o'clock. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.